Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station. We're also going out live tonight to our AM/FM affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Don't forget, if you miss any of our live broadcasts, you can catch our archives on demand at either of those two websites. Going to give you a little real-time update. I told you, Keith and I made mention of it at the very top of the first hour. Coming up in the third hour tonight, Winston Smith and I will do a little reprise, and we'll revisit the intense crush of media attention that has been lavished on our program as a result of last Saturday's interview with Hutton Gibson. The Political Cesspool has been featured no less than 105 newspaper articles around the world, from the United States to Canada, Australia, Ireland, India, Germany, Russia, you name it, we're there. And all because of a few comments that Hutton Gibson made on the show last week. It goes without saying that we stand completely in solidarity with Hutton Gibson and believe that his detractors aren't fit to shine his shoes. We're going to tell you everything. We're going to break it down, how everything went down in the third hour. But the reason I'm prefacing my remark with this is because Hutton Gibson has released a statement just now, about 2 minutes ago. I got an email from him. He has released a public statement taking the media to task as a result of his interview with us. So I'm going to turn the program over momentarily to my more than able co-host, Winston Smith, as he brings on another and, you know, just incredible guest, Reverend Ted Pike, one of our very favorites, the man who has logged more political cesspool appearances than anyone else. It's going to be a great interview. Ted has just been burning it up at truthtellers.org. His three most recent articles are just absolutely fantastic. And while I go and work on our blog, I'm turning the show over to Winston. This is real-time updates here, ladies and gentlemen. You couldn't get this if we were a taped program. It all happens live. It's going to go down live right now. So, Winston, take over for me, and I'll see y'all in just a bit.
Thank you very much, James. My friends, I'm very pleased to be here tonight for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's been a very interesting news week, not to use the name of the magazine, but there have been some occasions and events this past week that they have caused a lot of soul searching, and I think in a good way. That's one reason I'm happy to be here. But another reason I'm happy to be here is because I get to talk with our good friend Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. He is the president of the National Prayer Network. You can access that site, and you should access that site at www.truthtellers.org. And every time we have Reverend Pike on, I always want to mention that this is the man who is doing the yeoman's work in protecting us from the onslaught of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and their onslaught of indecency and their attempts to try to fundamentally alter this country in ways that Barack Hussein Obama could not have imagined. So I usually give very lavish introductions for Reverend Pike, but I'm going to forego that tonight because there's so much to talk about, and I just want to welcome Reverend Ted Pike to the Political Cesspool. Reverend Pike, how are you this evening, sir?
Well, pretty good. Thanks for having me, Winston.
It's always our pleasure, and as James said, you've logged more Political Cesspool hours than any other guest, and every one of those hours has been excellent, and I thank you personally and on behalf of the Political Cesspool audience.
Well, thanks for being there.
You've recently published one article about Mr. Farah over at World Net Daily, and it's the three articles before that I'd like to talk with you about. But first of all, before we get into all that, I'd like to ask you to update us on some very significant legislative victories we've had these past few days. Can you fill us in on that?
Well, yes. The Congress, as most people know, has now disbanded, going back to the states for the summer recess. And the Democrats are very frustrated, especially the homosexual lobby wing of the Democratic Party, because two of the major legislative initiatives, number one and number two on Obama's hate crimes wish list, have not been passed by both House and the Senate. I'm talking about the Employment and Non-Discrimination Act has gone down basically to defeat. I think even Barney Frank of the House, the homosexual advocate of hate crimes legislation in the House, is now conceding defeat and probably is not even optimistic enough to even suggest that with literally weeks before the Judgment Day elections in November, that anyone will have the audacity to even try to get in to push through. The second bill that is perhaps foundering and has certainly not been passed by the Senate, although it was passed by the House, is the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. It was passed by the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, but again, the evidence is that the Democratic leadership is getting very apprehensive this close to midterms, when all of the signs are showing that the Democrats may suffer tremendous losses, even perhaps lose control of the House, maybe even of the Senate. They're very reluctant to bring in pro-homosexual legislation, vastly restructuring the military to provide complete legitimacy for homosexuality in the military, including a pay for your same-sex spouses and so on, compensation, insurance, all that kind of thing, right at the beginning of a period of time when we might see Tea Party uprising in a desire to make a clean sweep of Democrats and all of their so-called bias and hate crimes pro-homosexual legislation. So what has happened is that not only have lovers of freedom stood in the gap in crucial times, especially several other bills I'll talk about in just a second, but these two really big bills, there's been opposition to them. The religious right has opposed them to a certain degree, not as much as I would have liked to, but this has put the fear into the Democrats, and this is very, very healthy for Obama and the Democrats. The people are speaking. In fact, the people are actually roaring that we resent this pro-pedophile, pro-homosexual administration, and we are going to remember in November. Let me just add a couple more bills that were defeated. Back about 4 months ago, the ADL brought forward its cyberbullying bill. It's called the Megan Myers Hate Cyberbullying Prevention Act, and this legislation would make a criminal out of any student, out of any teacher or administrator, even out of a parent on the local public school level who criticized a homosexual student and made them feel so remorseful about their lifestyle that they didn't feel like attend the school function. If that happened and they didn't want to go to the prom or didn't want to go to a basketball game or whatever because they were feeling bad about their homosexuality, somebody had criticized them, then this federal legislation, the ADL cyberbullying bill, would have made that perpetrator of a hate crime in the local grade school or high school into a federal hate crime criminal. And there was another bill called the AWARE bill, another ADL bill, which was working in tandem with the cyberbullying bill, which would have established a vast federally sponsored educational program for the states in public education from kindergarten all the way through graduate school, in which the federal government would be promoting homosexuality, endorsing it, standing by any homosexual student who felt intimidated or harassed because of their sexual orientation. These two very dangerous bills were not at all identified, were not at all warned against by the religious conservative right. and our National Prayer Network stood alone in opposing them and galvanizing a lot of calls at the crucial moment. We blitzed the House Judiciary Republicans with alert well ahead of time, letting them know that these two bills would be coming through the House Judiciary Committee. And fortunately, that gave Louie Gohmert, Representative Louie Gohmert of Texas, the opportunity to invite in three or four excellent constitutional legal experts. They brought in these expert witnesses.
Reverend Pike.
We knocked it in the head.
Sorry to interrupt, gentlemen. We got to take our first break of the hour, but much more to come with Reverend Ted Pike as this hour continues forward. We are just getting started, and he has got a lot of important information to share with you tonight. Stay tuned.
Coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I am on my website right now, our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, updating the blog to reflect Hutton Gibson's just-released statement to the press pertaining to his interview with us last week. And let me tell you something, it is spot on. You're going to love it. And it's going to be up on our website in about 5 minutes' time. Continuing on with the broadcast, Winston Smith with Ted Pike, one of my good friends, one of my all-time favorite guests. And I tell you, I've been tracking his work at truthtellers.org for more years than I can remember now, and it's always in season, but he has just really outdone himself with a collection of articles here over the course of the past couple of weeks, since the beginning of the month especially, that I think everybody in this audience needs to read. And we would have put Ted on last week, but to have Ted Pike and Hutton Gibson on in the same show might have caused a meltdown at the ADL, so we had to kind of space them out. Keep everybody going. But listen, great interview so far, and it's only going to get better. Winston, back to you and Reverend Pike.
Thank you, James. Reverend Pike, I'd like to ask you two more questions before we end our discussion of the legislation and get on to your articles. But the upshot of it all is that in this legislative session, four major pro-sodomite bills have gone down in flames. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's of course, we lost the big federal hate bill. That's public knowledge now. And certainly we lost the health reform fight. We lost the stimulus fight and so on. But there's much to be rejoiced in and much to give confidence. There were people about 5 months ago, especially after the health bill was victorious, there was a tremendous cynicism, tremendous, almost revolutionary, violent feeling out in my listening audiences, and I was working hard to try to give some spirit and confidence in lovers of freedom in this country that there was still any hope in the legislative process. And I just want to underscore tonight that now we are sitting on a possible four major ADL hate bills in this session of Congress. And if we can get some real control, especially in the Senate, regardless of what happens in the House, if we can get a full 60, 61, 2, 3, or 4 votes Republican against hate crimes legislation, we can bottle up the possibility of more bills like that. So we need to not to abandon our constitutional legislative a due process. We need to reinvigorate it and give it life through public activism.
Reverend Pike, earlier you mentioned that Congress is reluctant to take up ENDA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell out of fear of reprisal in the November midterm elections. Now, I wonder if their reluctance to take up these issues at this time might be based upon some confidence that they actually might not lose control of Congress. If they actually believed that their days were numbered, then I think they would make all haste to pass these pieces of legislation Am I wrong in this, or am I just am I too cynical?
I think what you're talking about is the gay lobby. Now, the gay lobby is very fanatical. It's very single-issue oriented. It really doesn't care about anything except its own special federal protections under these bills. And they don't care about the fate of the Democrats long term. They don't care about the country or the youth of the country or even their own lives. They wouldn't be getting AIDS and involving themselves in such sexually irresponsible behavior if they were responsible people. That's true about the homosexual lobby, but the leaders of the Senate and the House, the Democratic leaders, I believe they're realizing that they have to wisely manage damage control right now by not unnecessarily inciting and controversy and offending the religious right and the family values of this nation, especially literally with only a few weeks left before coming back to Congress and then going to midterm elections. So all the polls and all the popular wisdom is that the Democrats are not going to have an easy time in November. It's not going to be a time of Democratic renewal and replenishment of dominion over the House and the Senate. So I think I don't think they have necessarily a hidden agenda here. I think it's pretty clear that the people are speaking, the people are roaring at them, that they've had enough of this sodomite pro-communist administration.
Reverend Pike, I'm going to ask you a question that is the most commonly asked question you get when you give interviews, and it's this. Why is it that the ADL, a Jew advocacy group, a Zionist advocacy group, why is it that they are so involved in pro-sodomite legislation? It would seem like if they were truly a Zionist or a Jew advocacy organization, that they would be more concerned about passing pro-Jew or pro-Zionist legislation, but they seem to have set their cap on sodomites. Why is that?
Well, you would expect a Jewish organization, a so-called Jewish civil liberties organization, to reflect actually biblical values. And a lot of people think of Jews as having tremendous respect for the Bible and the Torah, the Old Testament, and all of that. The truth of the matter is that modern or rabbinic Judaism is based on the ancient Pharisees, their ancient oral tradition, which was actually enshrined in the Babylonian Talmud and in the Zohar or Kabbalah. And these two massive works, which are now vastly of greater authority than the Old Testament and the prophets for modern Orthodox or observant Jews, these works, the Talmud and the Kabbalah, are full of the idea that Israel, Judaism, has a destiny to eventually rule the nations under their Messiah, and that it's going to be necessary to subvert and destroy and break down the power of the Goyim, of the Gentiles, of the Christians, in order to reach such world ascendancy. Now, the question is, how do you break down the power of Christianity and power of capitalism and all of these vested bastions of strength which present barriers to world domination by Israel? Well, the answer is you subvert them morally. And the fact is that homosexuality over the centuries, over the millennia, has proven itself a very powerfully corrosive effect in tearing down, breaking down nations and the values of youth and families and all this kind of thing. So what ADL is doing, very simply, is that it is masking itself as a high-minded civil liberties group, but actually, in reality, it is promoting every kind of vice. We're talking about abortion, homosexuality, pornography, excessive immigration even, the theory of evolution, on and on and on. Everything that will tear down America, ADL will be out there promoting it. And their long-term objectives is to totally break down our Christian moral fabric of civilization so that a new Judaic one-world government can eclipse this traditional value system and establish world dominion.
This is an excellent topic that Winston brought up, and you have given just then, Reverend Pike, the most concise and succinct answer I've ever heard on the matter. And it's something that I think everybody sees and probably scratches their head over. Why does the ADL, basically their entire existence revolves around not advocating matters of benefit for Jews per se, but advancing the ideology of all of these radical left-wing movements. And so now we know, if we didn't know before, now we can articulate it, or now you've better given us the equipment to articulate what we've always felt but couldn't really express. Thank you for that, Reverend Pike, and we're going to take a break and come back with more Q&A with Reverend Pike here on the Political Cesspool.
Right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Thank you, Art Frith. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you as Winston Smith sits in. Ted Pike is our guest, and we're doing an interview with Reverend Pike about the content of some of his most recent articles, which are featured this evening at his website, truthtellers.org. And I am of the school, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I did just update the blog. This is actually a first in political cesspool history. I've been on the air for 6 years. We've done over 1,000 broadcasts, and this is the first time I've ever updated the blog in the middle of a live show, but I did it because Hutton Gibson has something that you need to read. He has released a public statement as a result of the worldwide media attention that has been invested as a result of his appearance with us last week. I have just now put it up to the blog. If you want to read it, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Winston Smith and I will cover it here in the third hour. But first, as I mentioned, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I could now infuse myself into this interview, but Winston and Ted are doing just fine without me. I know my role. I know my role, gentlemen. Winston, please continue on. Great conversation with Reverend Pike tonight, as always.
Thanks, James. All right, Reverend Pike, let's leave the legislative segment. We've covered it beautifully, I think, and I hope that's given given our listeners a lot to think about, especially if there are any Judeo-Christians out there who are pleased and aligning themselves with Judaism by calling themselves Judaism, especially now that they know that Judaism and Zionism does not concern itself with the Old Testament or the Torah specifically, but rather they are more concerned with the abominable and vulgar Babylonian Talmud. Is that correct, Reverend Pike?
Absolutely. The Pharisees took over. Even Jesus says when he came on the scene 2,000 years ago, he said that the Pharisees, by their oral traditions, meaning their law, their oral law, had made the law of God of none effect. And basically what happened largely in Babylon was that the scribes and Pharisees assumed leadership of the congregation and developed this twisted way of reinterpreting the Jewish Mosaic law. So everything was turned upside down. They used numerology and incantations and all kinds of occult means to come to rationalizations of what they wanted to do rather than what God wanted to do them to do. And Jesus said that they were the synagogue of Satan, that they were whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Tragically, the Jewish people decided they would rather follow the Pharisees than follow Jesus Christ, their true Messiah. So the history of Judaism over the last 2,000 years is the darkness and wandering and confusion as the children of Israel have been led into a ditch, literally, by these false guides.
All right. Let me ask you about our old friend Abe Foxman. He has now become Dr. Abe Foxman, and he has diagnosed the a certain malady that infects 80 million Americans.
Yes.
80 million. So what is Dr. Foxman's diagnosis, Reverend Pike?
Well, Abraham Foxman is a specialist in indicting huge amounts of people as guilty of some kind of sickness or malady that they never dreamed they had. I point out in one of these articles you're talking about how that 10, 15, 20 years ago, the ADL, when it was just conceiving the idea of hate crimes laws for America, it basically what it did was it said that all forms of bias, whether for good or for bad, they're all forms of bias are bad. In fact, they're very, very bad, according to ADL. The worst thing you ever want to be guilty of, according to ADL, is some kind of judgmentalism or lack of respect for diversity or so on, some kind of prejudice against another racial or religious group. And so what ADL did was it said all bias is really hate. And so if you're biased, you're also hateful. And so automatically, by implicating us all as haters for something which is fairly common to man, in other words, having biases, ADL was able to magnify what they claimed was a massive epidemic of hate, massive epidemic of bias, in other words, hate in America. And they, through twisted definitions of what is a hate crime and so on, they convinced police to further document something like 7,500 hate crimes a year and so on. And the long and short of the story is they conned Congress, they conned the media and the people of America in order to pass the federal hate crimes bill last October. Now, what the ADL is doing right now is it's putting out another huge noose, literally around 80 million Americans. ADL's Foxman on the ADL website, which is ADL.org, now says that 80 million Americans are now anti-Semitic. Some 40 million are seriously infected with anti-Semitism. Another 40 million Americans are more mildly infected. In other words, if you believe what the Jews tell us about themselves, that they created Hollywood and the movie industry and the big three TV media, if you believe what the Jews testify through a number of Jewish histories of the Hollywood industry, then you are mildly anti-Semitic. If you believe what the Jews tell us, that they dominate Wall Street, you are mildly anti-Semitic. Similarly, if you're guilty of strong criticism of Israel, you are seriously anti-Semitic. You're a virulently anti-Semitic. And so what ADL is doing is it's trying to persuade America. It's starting a propaganda blitz now in which it's trying to persuade the American people that we've got a big, big problem of anti-Semitism here in America. Like the big, big problem of hate crimes in America, the only way to deal with this problem is through massive federal legislation. And what I point out in one of these recent articles is that the ADL basically wants a federal anti-Semitism law, just like ADL masterminded a federal hate crimes law. And probably that federal anti-Semitism law would be included under the jurisdiction of their present federal hate crimes bill, or federal hate crimes law, I should say.
By the way, folks, this article to which Reverend Pike is referring and about which we're talking is titled ADL, 80 Million Americans Anti-Semitic, and it was written, published at truthtellers.org on July 28th this year. And Reverend Pike, so let me get this straight. I hate saying let me get this straight, but in this case I have to because it's a little confusing. If your average Judeo-Christian wanting to solidify himself in his Judeo-Christianity, if he picks up a copy of Encyclopedia Judaica, and if he reads the statement, quote, "Thus, all the large Hollywood companies, with the exception of United Artists, were founded and controlled by Jews," unquote, and if that Judeo-Christian believes that, then he is mildly infected with anti-Semitism, although it is Jews who wrote that statement.
Exactly. How much sense does that make?
they tell us what to believe, and then when we believe it, we're anti-Semites.
Well, that is pretty much what so-called anti-Semites are ostensibly guilty of. You see, the Jews, these Jewish supremacists, they want to bask in compliments and the pleasure of dominating great sectors of American society, and literally world society, dominating finance, dominating media, dominating Congress and parliaments, dominating war-making powers in the Middle East. They are not averse to people knowing about those things, and in fact, they'll tell you about those things if you read their own literature. But if you have the audacity, or maybe even the naivety, to repeat those facts of Jewish culture today, then ADL is after you. You are an anti-Semite. You are a classical or a virulent anti-Semite simply for repeating what the Jews say. The same goes for digging into the Babylonian Talmud, digging into the Zohar or Kabbalah. If you even quote out of those verses, in even a neutral way or a mildly critical way, then the ADL comes after you and says this is anti-Semitism. If you are a professor in a theological seminary and you have a copy of the Babylonian Talmud, as we do here in one seminary in Portland where I got a good deal of my education on this subject, if you are, however, a professor in one of those seminaries...
Reverend Pike, that's a good place to pause it. Got to take another break. I hate to do it, especially when y'all are on such a roll, but rules are rules. So stay tuned, everybody. I know you're hanging on the edge of your seat. Ted Pike will be back with us right after these words. They
took the home. Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Anytime we have Reverend Ted Pike on, it seems as though we're in the vortex of a time warp. It goes by so quickly because he's so full of information and has just an uncanny knack of being able to deliver it in such a way, such a smooth way, that it really empowers the listener and arms them with the kind of intellectual ammunition they're going to need as they move forward and address these issues in the court of public opinion. We got one more segment with Reverend Ted Pike. It's never enough, but with us now in the midst of it, let me turn it back over to Winston.
Thank you, James. Reverend Pike, I'd like you to finish up your thought before we were interrupted in the previous segment. And then I want to ask you to ask you about the second article that you published on August the 2nd, titled How ADL Wants to Outlaw Christians. So please take it, sir.
Yes, I was just mentioning that while seminary professors would be free to delve into and explain any religious text, including, let's say, the Quran or the Book of Mormon or anything else, the Talmud is off limits. And that's why you do not have any of them coming out and telling their students, telling the world, telling the church what is really in the Babylonian Talmud. It's a closed book, absolutely closed book, as well as the Zohar or Kabbalah. And this is, of course, intellectually disgraceful for people who pretend or give the impression that they are the intellectual watchmen, scouts, if you will, going into new territory intellectually, academically. They give the impression that they are coming back and they are telling people what they have learned through their researches. Well, that may be true of every other subject, but not about the Babylonian Talmud. And so this is one of the reasons why the church languishes in naivety and simplicity and credulity concerning the Jews, because the only truth, or only information, I should say, they receive is from Zionist-approved leaders and media and so on.
So, Reverend Pike, I could fill several political cesspool shows just mentioning briefly all the articles that I've seen whereby rabbis and other Jew so-called scholars expound upon the New Testament, and I'm sure we're going to get into some of that in the third hour when we discuss the Zionist attack on Hutton Gibson, but they feel free to take our holy scriptures, especially our New Testament, the testament of our Lord and Savior, and try to use that to convince us that that our Lord is in hell, boiling in various body fluids, but let anybody else take up their representative scriptures, and that's a sign of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. It's always a double standard. The standard is that the Jews have suffered more than any other people in history, therefore it's payback time, and the Jews, the homosexuals, the blacks, the Chicanos, these are all victims of white Christian civilization, so we must give them preferential deference and immunity from investigation and criticism.
All right, let's go back to August the 2nd of this year. Tell us how the ADL wants to outlaw Christians. That's a bold statement.
Well, the latest ploy of the ADL is to claim that New Testament Christianity is inherently anti-Semitic, in that it claims that the Jews and their leaders masterminded the crucifixion. They convinced the Romans to actually plunge the spears into his side and drive the nails to his feet, but the Jews masterminded the crucifixion. Of course, this is exactly what the Gospels teach. This is what the Book of Acts repeatedly spits out in the boldest language. So it's all there in the New Testament. But now ADL in Foxman's latest mini diatribe on ADL.org, he says that claiming that the Jews masterminded the crucifixion is anti-Semitism. It's a mild form of anti-Semitism, he says. But on the other hand, ADL's Department of Global Anti-Semitism in the U.S. State Department, an ADL front legislated by Congress into existence about 4 years ago, the Department of Global Anti-Semitism makes no bones about it. They say that claiming that the Jews killed Christ is classical anti-Semitism. So on various fronts, ADL is laying down pretty hard line now that anyone who believes the New Testament literally is a classical anti-Semite, is an anti-Semite to some degree. Now, in countries like Canada, Sweden, etc., to criticize the Jews for the crucifixion, to criticize Israel strongly, is a hate crime. It is the crime of anti-Semitism. In Canada, I've told a story about how I have a friend in Toronto, and I asked him, I said, what would happen if you went out on the street and did some street preaching and you said that the Jews killed Christ? He said, I'd be playing with fire, Ted. I could expect, he said, very soon for the police to come to my house and arrest me for the hate crime of anti-Semitism. That would mean a minimum of $5,000 fine. It certainly would mean imprisonment if he continued to make that allegation. You see, ADL's ultimate dream here is not protecting homosexuals. It's not even laying down hate crimes laws. The ultimate dream is the systematic and legal persecution of Christianity. This is what the Pharisees jump-started in the Book of Acts. In more than 20 instances, they attempted to persecute and actually destroy the infant church. They were unsuccessful. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem. The Jews were scattered. They couldn't finish the job of killing Christianity 2,000 years ago, but they have always dreamed of having enough clout, enough power in government that they could do that, especially from the federal level. And the first stage, of course, was passage of the federal hate crimes bill. But what ADL wants to do is to popularize the idea that we now need legislation, empowerment from the federal level against anti-Semitism as well as hate crimes. And the ultimate hate crime, according to ADL, is claiming that the Jews killed Christ. This is what is called the blood charge, the blood libel. ADL claims that it started, that precipitated the Holocaust of World War II and is responsible for every type of suffering for Jews over the ages, and therefore it should be allowed. And what this means is ADL is working for a banning of the New Testament as an authoritative guide for Christians today.
It seems like since they hate Jesus Christ so much, then they should be proud of what they did to our Lord.
Well, the truth of the matter is you go to the Talmud in the treatise Sanhedrin, and they're very proud of claiming that they killed Christ. They claim they killed him on the eve of Passover because he was a false prophet. They threw him into a garden. They crucified him on a cabbage stalk. They dragged his dead body from a horse to the king, and on and on and on. The abominations that they committed against Christ, they are very, very proud of, but they won't admit that to the world. In fact, what they do is they claim that this is a complete lie, that they ever had anything to do with the crucifixion of Christ, even though the Talmud and the Toledoth Yeshu, a Talmudic treatise, very, very clearly boast of that very fact.
So once again, if we believe their own words, then we're anti-Semites.
Absolutely.
Reverend, I got to ask, how do they get away with this, even in the minds of so many people who call themselves Christians?
Well, when the Jews control the media of information in America and the world, then, you see, they have their hands on the spigot of the flow of facts, reality, documentation that comes to people. And we operate according to the premises which are supplied to us. If we operate according to premises and facts, so-called facts and information supplied by ADL, obviously we're going to come to twisted conclusions. And the great value of the Internet today is, at least temporarily, is that we can leap over now across the media boundaries, the traditional big media boundaries that have been Jewish-controlled, and we can provide new premises, new original and factual, truthful premises for the people of the world. And, of course, as soon as these new premises are received and acted upon, the ADL says this is all anti-Semitism, this is criticism of Jews, Israel, and so on. This is what led to the Holocaust. We must ban these premises. We must get control of the Internet and basically take things back to the way where they were before. And I think this new attempt by Verizon and Google, in fact, to privatize the Internet is an extremely sinister attempt by two Jewish media giants to do exactly that, to create a two-tier level of the Internet in which you will have the fast-moving, lively, popular, flashy Internet versus the kind of the horse and buggy, less attractive, and everybody will go rushing to the more popular, flashy medium,
Reverend Pike,
basically destroying the Internet as it stands today.
Reverend Pike, we are out of time, but for more information, ladies and gentlemen, you must go to his website, truthtellers.org. Reverend Ted Pike, you understand now why he is our all-time leader in guest appearances. Thank you, Reverend Pike, for another incredible interview. We'll see you again very soon.
Thank you, gentlemen.